Good day, friends. It's good to have this opportunity of coming into your family circle once again with a program based upon what the Bible teaches. You know, we want to speak where the Bible speaks, and I'm going to say today we have a pretty good example of what the apostles and evangelists did in the first century. They began with the Scripture, and they stayed with the Scripture. And we're going to deal with one of those apostles giving a very important message that could be like a sermon to a young evangelist. First of all, before we get into the broadcast, I want to thank the congregation for bringing you this broadcast, the Church of Christ that sponsors this broadcast each week at the same hour. We're glad for cooperation with these brethren, and I think I should explain to you that wherever we broadcast the gospel by means of radio, and we certainly do that at a number of different places, but we always do this as an evangelist. The program is sponsored by the church. It's their program. They support it financially. As you know, we do not solicit funds on the air. We are interested in your moral and spiritual support. We're interested in the comments that you have about the gospel and the teaching that we're offering. But this is a program that is actually supported and upheld by the church as their broadcast. And the way we look at it, we're just as an evangelist that comes into a community, just like we'd be coming into this community, and we're conducting a series of meetings, and we deliver a number of lessons. We generally put them in somewhat of a outline form in which we deal with a certain series, a certain caption. Like we have had 10 lessons here. Eight lessons, really, when you come right down to it. This is the eighth lesson that deals with great sermons of the Bible. Now, some series are 10, but this one is 8. And if you're interested in the sermons that we've talked about on this broadcast, in this series, Stephen in Jerusalem, Peter at Pentecost, two sermons on the Sermon on the Mount by Jesus, Daniel attends a ball, Paul at Athens, and last week, the Psalm of Life from the 23rd Psalm. If you're interested in those outlines, feel free to send a card or letter to the station or to the congregation of the Church of Christ that brings you this broadcast, and then allow time for you to receive the answer. This is without cost or obligation, and we're glad to do this that it might benefit you and your entire family. So the thought I want to leave with you is that it's been good to present these lessons, and I want to thank these brethren for making it possible. I want to thank you for listening, and I hope that we continue on for a long period of time, the Lord willing, to sound forth these gospel messages. Now, you can help us by dropping us lines and letting us know what's on your mind, and you can tell your friends and neighbors about this radio broadcast and encourage them to listen each time that we present the gospel. We want to glorify God, and we want to offer teaching that will let you and your entire family know what God wants you to do to be saved from your sins and how he wants you to live for him. In the fourth chapter of 2 Timothy, which is considered by some to really be the qualifications for an evangelist, we have Paul writing here to his son in the faith, and it would be as though he were delivering a sermon or a discourse upon the subject of what are you going to do as a Christian? What are you going to do, Timothy, as an evangelist? And of course, first of all, we understand that Timothy must be a Christian before he's going to get to first base as an evangelist. So notice how he begins here in the fourth chapter of 2 Timothy. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. What are you going to do in the light of this, Timothy? But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. So here is a sermon. Yes, it is. It's a teaching. And there's a lot that can be said about this. Now, first of all, keep in mind that the Apostle Paul was an apostle. And back in the 16th chapter of Acts, if you're wanting to make research on this, we have a record of him meeting Timothy over at the city of Lystra. That was on that second journey, that so-called second journey. Now, he was there on the first journey in the 13th chapter of Acts, but we don't have a record of Timotheus until the 16th chapter on the second journey. And when he came there, he found this young man who was well reported of by the brethren at Lystra and Iconium. And I often tell prospective evangelists, and I often tell young people and older people, that I believe what took place here was that the brethren in Lystra and Iconium actually knew Timotheus. He'd been in their assembly. No doubt he had exhorted the assembly. And he was well reported. They knew that he was one who was willing to follow God. They knew that he was a faithful man. He'd had a teaching of faith from his grandmother and his mother, and now he was in a position to go on and do great things for the Lord. So that's where Paul met him, and he had a desire to take him with him. Now, this church at Lystra had an eldership at this time because they were appointed in the 14th chapter of Acts, and I'm sure that the elders of this congregation realized the potential that was found in Timotheus. So with their agreement, I'm sure they agreed to this, that the Apostle Paul took Timothy with him, and he became known as his son in the faith. And he traveled with Paul in these journeys, and he then was in a position where he seemed that he could do some good in the area of Ephesus. And that seems to be where a lot of his ministry for the Lord, a lot of his preaching, a lot of his teaching took place. But Paul now is getting to the place where he realizes that his life is going to soon be taken. He says later in the same chapter, in a very familiar sequence, he said, I know in verse 6, for I know now, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Then he says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also which love his appearing. Then he says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. So Paul is passing on what can be termed by many, and rightly so, as a so-called farewell address. He's giving a teaching here to Timothy. He's going to take the torch now of preaching the gospel onto the world, as Paul is now going to soon be offered. He's going to soon lose his life. He knows this is coming. History tells us he was executed. He knows this is going to happen, so he's leaving this with Timotheus. I want to notice some of these things that are touched upon in this message. Now, he points out that I'm giving you a charge here, and this is before the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to judge the living and the dead, judge the quick and the dead. See, there are going to be those upon earth when Christ comes in the air, and they're going to be caught up to meet him in the air. They're going to have to be changed because their body's not fitted for eternity. In the moment, in a twinkling of an eye, that whole thing can take place. So the quick and dead are going to stand before him, and that kingdom's still going to be intact, because in 2 Peter 1:11, it's going to mention about an everlasting kingdom which is associated with heaven. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 that he will deliver up the kingdom to God before the end comes. And so the point is that the kingdom's still going to be there. Now, this whole thing is brought before the mind of Timotheus with the idea in mind that what are you going to do now, Timothy? And there are three words in the second verse that I want to emphasize. Preach the word. And this is vital. I've told a lot of people about some of the experiences that we had as a young preacher, and I'm not just trying to tell my experiences now, but there was one that especially stood out, and I think it emphasizes the necessity to preach the word. I got off of a train in Joplin, Missouri years ago when I started out preaching, and an old brother met me at the station, good old brother in Christ, and I want to make conversation with this man. So I said, Brother Johnson, what do you want me to preach while I'm here? And he looked at me and he said, Preacher, if you have anything to preach other than the Bible, you can get right back on that train. Well, of course, this kind of knocked the props out from under me, but you know, as I grew older, I thought, you know, that was a pretty good thing. I intended to preach the word. But you see, he reminded me that that's the thing he wanted me to do. Now, he was rather brash on that, I thought, at the time, but I found out when I got better acquainted with him that he had my welfare at heart. You know, that's the way it happens a lot of times. Sometimes people say things to us, and we think, well, maybe that's a little strong, and maybe we think they shouldn't have said that. But give the thing some due thought. Don't fly off of the handle, so to speak. Don't turn it down because you think it's been offered with the wrong spirit. After all, you can't judge that person's heart. Jesus said in John 7:24, judge not according to appearance. Well, the point I'm trying to emphasize is this is what Timothy was to do, to preach the word. And that simply means the gospel. And I want to tell you, as we sound forth this word, that's the thing that evangelists are to do. Now, he goes on to tell other things. They're to be instant in season, out of season. Be ready to do that. They are also to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. In other words, evangelists have a definite part in training men for the eldership. And they have a responsibility to appoint those men to the eldership as the congregation so desires and feels that the men are qualified. But I want to key in here on preaching the word. Now, where does that put you this morning if you're an evangelist or a preacher and you're spending your time in talking about social problems, in talking about philosophy, in talking about things with all due respect the Reader's Digest and basing your sermons on the Reader's Digest rather than the Bible? I have no qualms with the Reader's Digest as a periodical. I read it from time to time, receive benefit out of the articles, and this would include anything else. But your point is to preach the Word. A lot of times people think, you know, it won't be interesting unless I find something new or I find something different. And a lot of times people completely bypass what the Bible teaches to find something that they think will be thrilling or interesting to the audience. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a thing that can be proclaimed. You know, I've had this brought to my mind so many times, and I believe this is what people want to hear. I believe this is what young people want to hear. I've related to people all over the country being called upon, as we have numerous times, to speak at a baccalaureate. And one baccalaureate I remember going to, the superintendent asked me, he said, "Your subject is facing the future." Well, that's a general topic for a baccalaureate service. He said, "I just want to know what you're going to talk about." And I said, "Well, I'm going to talk about the Bible." And I could see he was pleased with this. And I was going to talk about Titus 2 and 12, where we are told to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And then show these young people what it means to live soberly, to have the proper use of our thinking, to do the right thing, and to reach forth to an ultimate that truly is in harmony with God. I think this will help a person, not alone in the church, but it'll help them in the religious world as general. It'll help them in the business world and being that kind of a person. Oh, someone says, no, it won't help them there because there's a dog-eat-dog proposition. Yes, but when one is honest and serves the Lord as he should, there are going to be people who are going to realize I can depend upon him. And you know, this superintendent was well pleased. He said, you know, a lot of times, he said, we have preachers who come and think that they ought to get up there and tell a lot of funny stories because these youngsters are, well, this is a happy time. This is a time in which they're not thinking about the future. Don't think that way. I find some of the greatest examples of courage and stability and faith in the lives of teenagers, and that's what those people were. Well, Paul wanted Timothy to preach the word. There's enough in the word to proclaim it, and you preach it right down the line. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Now, Philip the evangelist in the 8th chapter of Acts did that very thing. When he talked to the man in the chariot, he began at the same scripture as we have it back in Isaiah 53, and he preached unto him Christ. He didn't get off on some other subject. Now, there are times when we can talk about social problems. There are times when we can talk about philosophy in various ways. I'm not saying that that should never be spoken about, but preach the word. You see, he converted that man to Christ because he told him the story of Christ. That's the thing that's needed today. Preach the gospel without addition, subtraction, or alteration. Let people hear it. Let them believe it. Let them repent. Hear their confession of faith that they believe that Christ is the Son of God, and see them baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins. Well, we're going to have to leave you. It's hard to stop with a sermon like this, but we're going to have to stop. We'll hope to be with you next time, presenting a new series. Your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ have brought you this broadcast. Do attend service if you possibly can, and tell your friends about the broadcast. May God bless us all as we preach that word and as we live it.